Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're taking a look again today at the first reading from the daily liturgy from Mass. This week it's from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and Paul's talking about the resurrection and the implications of the resurrection. He's using an opportunity of as I mentioned yesterday, some of the brothers and sisters in the community in Thessaloniki, is that how you say it? Thessalonica. They were struggling over the issue that was causing them concern, even despair, around the thought that some of their loved ones who died in the Lord somehow would miss when Jesus came again because they were in the ground, and that they wouldn't share in the Lord's return and be a part of it like people who are living on the earth, as Paul had taught them, that when the Lord returns, if he returns when you're alive on the earth and you're with him, that you'll rise and meet him in the air. But he made clear that what the Lord communicated to the apostles and what the church teaches, that those who die in the Lord will be raised and will be with the Lord when he comes in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Paul continues to lean into today dimensions of living with the right understanding and having an alert mind, understanding the hope that's set before us so we can live in greater freedom, the sons and daughters of God, and not live like folks in the world who don't know, who don't walk in hope and with that kind of clarity. So here is St. Paul today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 following. He says, "Concerning times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. When people are saying peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." So Paul's using the opportunity as well, not only to clarify for the brothers and sisters what the Lord actually taught and what we understand about the resurrection, but he's also saying, what's the normal posture and mind and sense of anticipation and living with an eternal perspective that disciples are meant to walk in, that Jesus is leading us and that Jesus himself warned us about? When listening to Paul's teaching here reminds me of what the Lord said about his return will be like in Noah's time. Remember, Noah built the ark. He was warning people, God's judgments are coming, essentially. Everybody thought he was crazy. He was on a different track than everybody around him in different ways. And so Paul is calling us to be alert, to be clear-headed, to be alive, to realize that we know the Lord's coming, but we don't know when he's coming exactly. And the coming will be for many people, even though there are signs that will precede it, that for many people, if we're not careful, we start falling asleep, we're not alert and awake spiritually, and we're dull, and we're not waiting the anticipation of the coming of the Lord, which is part of the fundamental Christian disposition, part of our prayer, part of the church's prayer, part of the prayer of the liturgy and our whole life is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. We know where human history's headed. We're living with a sense of anticipation all the time. We know our ultimate destiny ourselves and how we're meant to live in the Lord, as Paul is exhorting us to here. But his words are very strong, but his words are just like Jesus' words. He said, again, when people are saying peace and security, all is well, then sudden disaster comes upon them. And it grips us just like labor pains that a woman begins to feel. And he said, there will be no escape for those who are not anticipating. They're not in a posture of readiness. They're not baptized into Christ. They're not living in his church. They're not walking in God's will. And he's concerned about that as well. He goes on, he said, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. Darkness means for Paul here very clearly that the darkness that's in the world, the disposition of the world that's present, the mind, the worldly mind that lives as if God doesn't exist, the unbelief that's in the world, the presumption about existence that's in the world. These are all things that cause people to be ignorant of God, lukewarm in relationship to God, to not take seriously the exhortations and teaching of our Lord and the apostles. So he says, that's darkness. That's a mind that's still under the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the power of sin and death. But Paul says, you're not like that, because those who are in that position will be overtaken when the Lord comes again. They'll be totally surprised, and then it'll be too late. He goes on to say, for all you are children of the light and children of the day. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son who came into the world as the light. He revealed the Father. He exposed human sin and the condition of humanity. He revealed our origin, our purpose, our destiny. He brought down all the dark powers that are set against the reign and the rule and the plan of God. And he said now that you are the light of the world. You know, Christians can fall asleep spiritually. It's happening. It's happening in our country. It's happening in the world today in a significant way. The kind of apostasy that we're seeing in the world, in the church, that is people walking away from the faith, baptized people either just drifting or walking away. Their minds are not alive to the truth about the reality of what's at stake and who the Lord is, and they're drifting with the currents of the culture. He says, we're not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do. So the image is being awake or being asleep, being in the light or being in the darkness. These contrasts are always being made. Because really, Paul is simply echoing the kind of things that Jesus himself taught us. And Jesus warned us, and Paul's a good shepherd, and so he's warning us. And so I do want to pray for our brothers who are priests, deacons, and others who are preaching this week, and it's preaching these themes, that you have the courage and really the Lord inspire you to warn your people, to warn God's people to live in the light, to walk in the light, to be careful not to fall asleep. The culture we live in, friends, is in many ways, it's set up to help us fall asleep. That is to fall asleep to the realities of the teaching of God and of Christ, the realities of what's actually unfolding in the world, and just to get us to consume, to have, to be distracted, to numb ourselves, to entertain ourselves constantly, to not think about these kind of larger issues and larger realities. It puts us to sleep spiritually. Paul goes on, he says, for God did not destine us for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, these words echo the teaching of Jesus. The wrath of God is coming. What does that mean? The ultimate judgment of God is coming. And that judgment will be definitive and it will be final. Now, what is God's wrath? Is God stomping around in heaven angry, just can't wait to exercise that judgment out of anger or whatever? What is wrath? Well, wrath is what human beings experience when we have set ourselves against God's unchangeable plan, against God's righteousness, against God's commandments. And when we're in that posture, our choices are manifested to us when he comes and we experience his presence as wrath. Because what does he do? He exposes the reality of our heart and then exposes our responsibility. And then the final thing is he exposes and he reveals our ultimate destiny. Jesus is indeed coming to judge the living and the dead. And by the word of his command, some will go to the right and some will go to the left. Again, for God did not destine us for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, again, going back to what we talked about yesterday, if you've fallen asleep, that is, if you died in Christ or you're awake when he comes, he said, we may live together with him in either condition. Make sure you die in the Lord if you die before he comes, or make sure you're living in the Lord if he's coming when you're alive. I mean, you don't know that. I don't know that. But this is what Paul is saying. In either condition, a posture of readiness, clarity, surrender of our life to the truth and walking in it is key so that we may live together with him. Friends, that's our destiny. This is the thing that is most important, and why the church in part exists and why her mission defines her so much, because the church wants to bring everybody to this realization of the final judgment that's coming, the sin-sick condition of the human heart, the need for forgiveness, repentance, baptism, salvation, come into the life of the church so that what? So that we may live together with him. not only here, but with him in eternity. And we're ready to welcome him with joy, because when he comes, some on the earth are going to welcome him with joy. Others, the scriptures, are going to beat their chest and they're going to say, oh no, because the choice and the reality and the consequences of their choice is going to be manifest and it's going to be too late. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up as indeed you do. So it's normal for Christians to talk about this stuff, to build ourselves up in the Lord and to remember what he said and to receive it for our own lives. Because the more we share it, the more we talk about it, the more we celebrate it, the more we help others come into it, the more the body of Christ lives in freedom and walks in light with a renewed mind, and the discouragement and the angst, the fear that grips so many people in the culture, divisions that are happening, it allows us to have a detachment from all that stuff. Not a detachment that doesn't care about where people are at, but we're not under the same weight because we know who's got us. The Lord's got us, and we're in the palm of his hand, and we know where our life is headed, and we know it's not just a wish. We've embraced real living faith by God's grace because we know in our being that God is at work in us. And we know by the teaching of the church and scripture that God is at work in us. And we start to live from this reality, and it produces the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. It's a good indicator, friends, to see. We can see where the world's at. The world is not right now, especially in our country, the hostility and the angst and the fear. We don't see very often in the public realm or on social media where all the cancel culture and everything is at. We don't see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, kindness and gentleness. We don't see that very often out there. Well, let's be wise. Why? Because that's the energy of a fallen world. That's the result of walking in darkness that Paul's talking about. And friends, the human race has no way of getting out of that apart from the grace of God, apart from a working of the Spirit. And we who are baptized into Christ, if we're living from, as Jesus said, if you abide in me, your life's going to bear much fruit. And the fruit bearing includes these amazing gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, that characterize the inner life of Jesus himself. That in all this hardship and difficulty, we literally can walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. But that comes from paying attention to the Lord, as Paul's talking about here, receiving that truth and letting that truth wash over us. Let the Holy Spirit teach us, help us come alive and be attentive to him rather than walk in the angst of the world. The Lord wants us to be a light in this darkness, friends. And there's no cheap way of getting that. It comes from actually living in and with the Lord and abiding in him, receiving the graces of the sacrament, living with his people, doing what he's called us to do and following his leadership. If we do that, if you set your heart, I set my heart, we're going to experience the Holy Spirit do something beautiful in each of our lives. Let's allow him to do that. Let's welcome him and walk in it for his glory. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.